Okay, picture this. It's 11 p.m. and your phone buzzes. Another urgent email. Or maybe your laptop's still open on the kitchen counter while you're trying to eat dinner.
Sounds familiar.
Right. In the weekend.
Yeah.
Instead of feeling like a recharge, it just kind of blends into the work week. It's that constant feeling of being on, where ambition just slams right into your actual energy limits.
Exactly. And the old rules for work-life balance, they just don't cut it anymore.
Totally broken. And what most productivity gurus get wrong, I think, is they completely miss the real underlying problem. So today, we're doing a deep dive into exactly that. What most productivity gurus get wrong about balance.
It's so true. You know, the internet promised all this freedom, but for a lot of us, it feels more like invisible chains. Remote work especially blurred all those lines.
Oh, completely.
And then you throw social media into the mix, amplifying that constant comparison. It's no wonder we see a generation of really high achievers just, well, burning out faster than ever.
Yeah.
And the tricky part is the usual advice, time management hacks, new apps, even wellness routines often just ends up pushing you to do more, just, more efficiently within a system that's fundamentally unsustainable. It's like trying to win a marathon by just running faster when your shoes are literally falling apart.
That's a great analogy. So what if the answer isn't doing more? What if it's about achieving more by actually doing less? Strategically, I mean. What if we ditch the idea of this perfect mythical balance and aim for something more like sustainable integration? That's what we're exploring today, how to channel that ambition without, totally sacrificing your sanity along the way. We've got some really practical tools to share.
Yeah, let's get into it.
Okay, let's start with burnout. We all think we know what it is, right? Just feeling tired. But it's way sneakier than that. It creeps up on you like a really slow leak in a tire. One minute you're cruising, the next, everything feels heavy. And the stats are pretty staggering. Gallup found 76% of employees feel burned out, at least occasionally.
76%. That's huge.
It is. But the scary thing is how good we get at just ignoring those early warning signs until it's way too late.
That's the absolute crux of it. We mistake it for simple exhaustion, but burnout is much more complex. It's like a systemic breakdown. I like the iceberg metaphor.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, what you see, the tiredness, that's just the tiny tip sticking out of the water underneath. There's this huge mass of physical, emotional, and cognitive signals your body and mind are sending out, like waving these massive red flags.
Right, flags we ignore.
Exactly. We've kind of been conditioned to push through, haven't we, to tell ourselves, oh, it's just a busy week, or I just need more coffee, until the whole system just gives out.
Our bodies really do talk to us if we listen. Like sleep problems, not just one bad night, but constantly lying awake, mind racing about work, or waking up at 3 a.m. with that awful pit in your stomach.
Oh, yes. The 3 a.m. horrors.
Totally. Or feeling exhausted even after 8 hours, including that deep, bone-tired feeling. And those energy crashes, not just a normal afternoon slump, but like really intense, frequent crashes throughout the day.
And the physical aches, too.
Oh, yeah, the unexplained stuff.
Yeah.
Headaches that just linger, that constant neck tension, shoulders feeling like concrete knots.
And we get really good at masking those, don't we? Like the caffeine dependency trap.
Guilty.
Right.
Yeah.
One cup becomes two, then maybe an energy drink in the afternoon. Suddenly, you need caffeine just to feel baseline. Okay, it's a total band-aid.
It really is.
And that constant stress can really tax your whole system, leading to that feeling of, well, adrenal fatigue, some people talk about, just total exhaustion, craving sugar, finding it hard to bounce back. Plus, things like chronic eye strain, back pain, getting sick all the time. Those are signals, too.
And then there are the emotional signs. These can be even sneakier because they creep up so gradually, like suddenly finding yourself way more irritable, little things setting you off.
Yeah, snapping at colleagues, road rage.
Exactly. Or losing enthusiasm for things you used to love. That new restaurant feels like too much effort. Weekend plans sound exhausting.
That loss of joy is a big one. And the Sunday scares? If Sunday evening consistently fills you with dread about Monday morning, that's a huge emotional warning sign.
Definitely.
And perfectionism, it starts as a strength, right? But it can twist into this paralysis where you can't finish anything, you procrastinate like crazy because it feels too daunting. That's mental exhaustion setting in.
Wow, yeah.
And just feeling emotionally drained, like your reserves are totally empty, small requests feel huge, you might feel disconnected, cynical.
We see this a lot with remote work, actually. That constant digital pressure without the, natural social energy buffers.
And the brain fog, it's real. When your brain is constantly managing stress, other things just suffer, like decision fatigue. Making simple choices feels impossible by 5 p.m.
Oh, absolutely. What's for dinner? Suddenly feels like the hardest question in the world.
Huh.
Or you find yourself struggling to remember simple things, rereading the same email 3 times just to process it. Multitasking feels way harder than it used to.
Uh-huh. Concentration goes out the window. Totally. Every notification pulls you away. And remote work definitely amplifies this, trying to process info from Slack, email, video calls.
Mm-hmm.
It's mentally exhausting switching between all those platforms.
So the big takeaway here really is getting aware of your specific patterns. Mm-hmm. Everyone's different.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe try keeping just a quick note on your phone. A couple of words, physical, emotional, mental state a few times a day. Sounds simple. But listening early can save you months of recovery. It's not weak, it's smart.
Absolutely proactive.
Okay, let's shift gears a bit mm-hmm. and challenge how we even define success. Here's a thought. Maybe the most successful people aren't the ones who achieve the absolute most stuff. Maybe they're the ones who are crystal clear on what not to chase.
Ooh, I like that. Clarity over quantity.
Exactly. Because in this world, obsessed with more, real success might actually come from focus.
Well, we definitely inherit this kind of standard success template, don't we? Do great in school, get this stable job, climb that ladder, buy the things.
Checklist.
Yeah, the checklist. And look, maybe it worked okay for previous generations with, you know, different economic landscapes. But today, it often falls short of actual fulfillment. Think about companies shifting away from rigid annual reviews to, like, instant feedback tied to goals.
Right, like that pharma company example.
Exactly. Or Google's Project Oxygen, they realize their old metrics for managers miss the crucial stuff, the human stuff. Focusing on those leadership qualities actually improved things measurably. It shows a conscious move away from just outdated benchmarks.
And then there's the whole social media thing, the external validation trap. We're comparing our messy reality to everyone else's curated highlight reel.
Oh, constantly. Chasing likes instead of what actually lights you up.
And we absorb expectations, right?
Of course.
Parents, peers. And sometimes those just don't align with what we genuinely want or value.
It's a huge issue. Deloitte found, 74% of leaders agree success needs broader measures, but only 17% are actually doing it differently.
Wow. That's a big gap.
Huge gap. So building your personal success framework that starts with digging into your authentic values. What makes you feel genuinely proud? Truly aligned?
Good question.
Then you try to connect your daily work to those core principles, creativity, impact, autonomy, whatever they are for you. And this is critical, defining your enough point.
Your enough point.
Yeah, the level where more doesn't actually add more happiness. Knowing that point helps you set boundaries for sustainable growth, not just endless accumulation.
That makes sense. So you need to check in regularly, like a success audit.
Exactly. Every few months, just ask, do my goals still align with my values? Does this still feel right for me right now? That framework becomes your compass for decisions.
Instead of just chasing the next promotion or salary bump?
Right. Create milestones that actually mean something to you, tied to your values. And celebrate the small wins along the way. Research shows it actually makes you more likely to hit those long-term goals. It shifts the focus from comparing yourself to others to your own progress.
It sounds like a much more satisfying way to live and work, honestly. Yeah. Channeling ambition towards something that actually feels fulfilling.
That's the goal. Lasting satisfaction.
Okay, let's tackle the big one. Saying no. We've all done it. Someone asks for something and yes just pops out automatically, even when you're drowning.
An automatic yes. It's a productivity killer.
Totally. And it kills your peace of mind too. But here's the kicker. The people who really get ahead, who are strategic, they're not saying yes to everything. They're saying yes to the right things.
That is such a crucial distinction. We say yes out of fear. Mostly. Fear of looking lazy or not committed or damaging our reputation.
Right. The people pleaser trap.
Exactly. And we have these yes triggers, like a direct request from the boss or a colleague saying, oh, it'll only take a minute.
Huh. Famous last words.
Can't they just? But that whole reputation protection idea, it's largely a myth. Studies actually show people with clear boundaries are often seen as more competent, more reliable, because they're strategic. They deliver on what they commit to.
That's counterintuitive, but makes sense.
Yeah.
So what are the typical yes traps? Last minute, urgent stuff.
Oh, yeah. Meetings that should have been an email classic. Projects totally outside your actual job description. Always covering for the same person. Mm. Social work things, eating into your personal time.
And it adds up, right? Yeah. Boundary erosion.
Precisely. Each little yes chips away until you're overwhelmed with stuff that isn't even technically your responsibility.
So how do we fight back? What are the strategic no techniques?
Okay, first, You don't always need a long explanation. I don't have the capacity right now is often enough. It's a complete sentence.
Oh, okay.
Second, buy yourself time. Let me check my schedule and get back to you. This stops the automatic yes and gives you space to think.
Good one.
Then there's the sandwich method for trickier situations. Start positive. Thanks for thinking of me. State your boundary clearly. I can't take that on right now. Then maybe offer a constructive alternative. Could person X help? Or I could look at it next month.
Positive, boundary, constructive. Got it. What about email?
Have some templates ready. Simple things like, my plate is really full with X and Y right now, or to make sure I can focus on my current priorities, or even I want to be upfront about my capacity so I don't overcommit and underdeliver. People respect honesty.
So saying no strategically actually builds a better reputation.
Yeah.
As someone selective focused.
Absolutely. You become known as selectively available, and the quality of requests you get often goes up. But consistency is key. You need systems. Maybe it's no email after 7 p.m. Maybe it's blocking focus time in your calendar and treating it like a real appointment.
Non-negotiable.
Exactly. Think about Mark, the software developer example. He was drowning in 60-hour weeks saying yes to everything. He started strategically declining non-essential meetings, blocking 4-hour chunks for deep coding work. His productivity literally doubled. Code quality went up. And he got promoted because his focus output was so valuable.
Wow. So specific examples,
yeah.
Last minute meeting.
I actually have focused work time blocked out then. Could we do tomorrow afternoon instead? Weekend work request. My weekends are protected personal time, but I can definitely prioritize this first thing Monday.
Project outside your role.
That sounds interesting, but it's not really my area of expertise. Have you considered talking to someone on the design team? After hours work social? Thanks so much for including me. I won't be able to make it this time, but I hope you all have fun.
Simple, direct, respectful.
Okay.
Okay. So the bottom line is your ability to say no strategically, that determines if you can actually excel at what really matters.
It improves quality, cuts stress, and weirdly grows your reputation. Start small. Pick one area this week, just one no.
And remember, every yes to something unimportant is a no to something that matters.
Powerful reminder.
Okay. Now we touched on this. Most productivity advice hammers on time management. But the real game changer, the secret weapon, it's energy management.
Absolutely. Think of your energy like your phone battery. You can run it down to 1% every single day and live in constant low battery anxiety.
Been there.
Or you can learn to manage it smartly, charge it strategically, keep it in a healthy range.
So how do we do that? Energy feels kind of random sometimes.
It feels random, but it actually follows predictable patterns, mostly.
Right.
The first step is just understanding your personal energy rhythm. When do you feel most alert? When do you dip?
Like morning person versus night owl.
That's part of it, but it's more nuanced. Most people have peaks and dips, maybe morning, early evening peaks, and after lunch dip. But yours might be different. Try this simple thing. For 1 week, just rate your energy. 1 to 10, maybe every 2 hours.
Just jot it down.
Yeah, just notice. You'll start seeing your patterns. Even bigger cycles matter, weekly rhythms. Maybe Mondays are always low energy. Seasonal changes, less light in winter can impact things. You can plan around these.
Okay, so understanding patterns is step one. Then what? You mentioned pillars of energy.
Right, but we need to think beyond just physical tiredness. There are 4 pillars: physical, mental, emotional, and even spiritual energy. Not necessarily religious, but your connection to meaning, purpose, feeling aligned with your values. It's a real energy source.
Okay, interesting. So physical is obvious. Sleep, food, movement.
Exactly. Mental energy is about focus, decision-making, problem-solving. Emotional energy relates to your interactions, stress levels, feeling connected or drained by people. And spiritual is that sense of purpose.
And they all drain and recharge differently.
Totally. And the same activity can be draining or energizing, depending on the context. Exercise might restore physical energy, but if you're already depleted, it could drain you more. Socializing with supportive friends, energizing. With draining people, depleting.
Makes sense.
Strengthening these takes consistent effort. Good sleep hygiene for physical. Single tasking, focus work for mental. Nurturing positive relationships for emotional. Connecting your daily tasks to a bigger why for spiritual.
So practical strategies based on this. Match tasks to energy levels.
Definitely. Do your deep thinking when your mental energy is high. Save admin for lower energy periods. And build in recovery before you desperately need it. Short breaks, deep breaths, stepping away. Don't wait till you hit the wall.
And boundaries around energy, not just time.
Crucial. Limit exposure to energy-draining activities or people where you can. Plan your week thinking about your energy peaks and dips.
What about environment? Does that matter?
Hugely. A cluttered desk, bad lighting, constant noise, even negative colleagues nearby, these things silently drain your energy. Small changes can make a big difference. Maybe try a weekly energy management planner.
What's that look like?
Super simple. Plan maybe 3 high-focus tasks for your peak energy times. Schedule 2 specific recovery breaks during likely dips. Identify just one energy drain you'll try to minimize this week, and choose one activity purely for restoring your energy.
I like that. Concrete. So energy management over time management. Mm-hmm. Why is it better?
Because you get more quality work done in less time, you feel less exhausted, your performance is more consistent, and you stop feeling guilty for having natural human energy rhythms. It's about working with your biology, not against it.
Start with observation. Got it.
Just notice.
Okay, this all sounds great, but how do we make it stick? How do we avoid falling back into old habits in like 2 weeks? This is where systems come in, right? Not just willpower.
Exactly. Successful people don't just have more willpower, they have better systems.
Right.
Systems are the infrastructure that makes sustainable balance automatic, not something you have to constantly fight for.
So designing your daily foundation, what does that mean?
It starts with your minimum viable routine. What's the absolute smallest version of a routine that still moves you forward, even on your worst day? Maybe it's just 10 minutes of quiet before checking your phone, or always putting your phone to charge in another room at night. Tiny things.
Okay. Minimum viable. I like that. Less intimidating.
Totally. Then transition rituals. Simple actions that signal the end of the workday. Changing clothes, a short walk, 3 deep breaths. It helps your brain switch gears.
Closing the mental tabs.
Precisely. And an evening routine that sets you up for good rest. Maybe writing down 3 good things from the day, setting out clothes for tomorrow, but crucially, adapt it to your life. Night owl. Don't force a 5 a.m. routine. Parent. Fit it around the kids. Shift worker. Adjust accordingly.
Right. Personalize it. Then weekly and monthly cycles, like tune-ups.
Exactly. A quick 15-minute weekly review. What worked last week? What felt hard? What's one tiny adjustment for next week? Simple. You could try weekly themes. Maybe focus on relationships 1 week, learning the next, just to reduce decision fatigue.
Oh, interesting idea.
Monthly energy audits help spot bigger patterns, recurring stressful deadlines, that one meeting that always drains you. And seasonal resets, leaning into outdoor time in summer. Maybe more reflection in winter, aligning with natural rhythms.
Okay, so daily, weekly, monthly, seasonal layers. What about the support structure?
This is your personal support infrastructure. Think environmental design, make the healthy choice the easy choice. Water bottle always visible, healthy snacks handy. Clear workspace boundaries, even if it's just a corner of a room.
Setting yourself up for success.
Yep. Intentional technology, use maybe a simple calendar, works better for you than some complex app. Using tech as a tool, not letting it run your life. Accountability, but make it supportive, not punitive. A friend check-in. A community.
Community helps.
Immensely. Sharing values, normalizing the challenges and successes. So your system includes daily routines, weekly, monthly reviews, environmental tweaks, smart tech use, and supportive accountability or community.
That sounds comprehensive. Where do you even start? It feels like a lot.
Start small. Pick one thing. Maybe the transition ritual. Get that feeling natural, almost automatic, before you even think about adding something else. Slow, tiny, sustainable changes are the ones that actually compound and last.
One brick at a time.
Exactly.
Okay, we've covered so much ground here. Spotting the warning signs, rethinking success, the power of no, managing energy, building systems. Wow. It feels like the real difference between just surviving and actually thriving long term is having this all work together, right?
Yeah.
Like an integrated system.
That's it, precisely. Like your phone's operating system. All the apps work together seamlessly, hopefully. When it clicks, it becomes this positive feedback loop. Recognizing a warning sign triggers you to use a boundary.
Which protects your energy.
Which then fuels your sustainable practices, which allows you to tackle ambitious goals without burning out. It's a chain reaction.
Mm.
And your personal balance dashboard is like your control center for this system.
The dashboard. Right. So what's on it? Keep it simple.
Keep it super simple. Pick one physical signal to track maybe sleep quality or how often you have energy crashes.
Right.
One emotional signal, maybe those Sunday scares or tracking your general irritability level.
Got it.
One boundary metric, maybe just noticing. How many times this week did I say yes when I really felt no?
Ooh, revealing.
And one energy check, maybe estimate, what percentage of my work time this week felt like I was in my optimal energy zone? Four thing.
Check them weekly. Takes like 5 minutes.
Exactly. Quick check-in. If you see a red flag on the dashboard, you know which tool from your toolkit to pull out, maybe reinforce a boundary or schedule more recovery time.
But life happens, right? Things go sideways. New boss, getting sick, general chaos. The system needs to flex.
It has to flex. The goal isn't rigid perfection. It's sustainable balance over the long haul. The system should bend, not break. When chaos hits, you simplify. Go back to basics. What's my most important boundary right now was my one essential energy practice.
Don't try to do everything when things are crazy.
Please don't. That's how ambitious people burn out trying to fix burnout. Don't try to implement all this stuff at once. Maybe take a phased approach. 30 days focused on your biggest pain point, maybe energy. Nail that. Then 30 days on boundaries. Then systems.
Layer it in.
And find ongoing support. Keep your warning signs visible. Write down your core values somewhere you see them. Practice those no scripts. Schedule your energy tracking. Use a journal. Find a community or a coach. Whatever helps it stick.
So, actionable next steps for someone listening. Choose one starting focus.
Yes. Set up that simple dashboard. Just pick your four metrics. Schedule a 5-minute weekly check-in. Maybe identify one person who could be a supportive check-in buddy and celebrate your first small win.
What does that look like, celebrating a small win?
It could be just recognizing a warning sign earlier than usual, or saying no without feeling guilty afterwards, or simply getting to the end of the day feeling like you still have some energy left. That's huge progress.
That is huge. It's about sustainable progress, not perfection.
Exactly. And course correcting without guilt. You'll mess up. We all do. Just notice it, learn from it, and start again tomorrow. No big deal.
And keep tuning up the system. Maybe monthly.
Yeah, a quick monthly reflection. What's working well with my system? What still feels hard? Has anything changed in my life that means my system needs an update? Celebrate the journey, the process of figuring it out, not just some imaginary finish line.
Because it really is a journey, isn't it? Not a destination.
It's a way of traveling, absolutely. And flexibility is key because what you need in your 20s is different from your 40s or 60s. The system needs to evolve with you.
And maybe by figuring this out for ourselves, we can help others too. Build community around it, share what works, model what sustainable ambition actually looks like.
That's a powerful ripple effect. So to wrap up, you now understand those burnout warning signs much more deeply. You've started redefining success on your own terms. You've got tools for setting boundaries, managing energy, and building systems that support you.
The choice ultimately is yours to actively use these tools. And when you do, you're making this profound investment in a future version of yourself, a version that's both successful and genuinely well.
Someone who sleeps well, enjoys their accomplishments, has energy left over for life outside of work, and grows in a way that truly adds to life instead of constantly subtracting from it. It won't always be easy navigating this, but it is absolutely always worth it.